And I know that each church has its own worship style, you know, which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand-raising church. That's what it is, right? That's what, you know. Anybody here go to a hand-raising church? Am I here? Sweet. Who here does not go to a hand-raising church? Some of you are trying. You're like, I can't. I want to. I need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're at my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you go out there, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. Got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throwing a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite. The circle of life. Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five. Press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky, touchdown. There you go. There's your big three.
Well, what'd that have to do with anything? You're wondering. Actually, it doesn't have a lot to do about a lot of anything, except for we want you to feel comfortable to worship here. Because we know that you're coming in a lot of different expressions. And, you know, it's all right. I remember the first church that I was pastoring. That was a big issue with some of the ladies in the church. They didn't want these hand-raising type people in the church. And it's all right. You know, you think anything of it when your child comes up and puts her hands up. You don't think anything of it. So it's okay. It's all right. So I wanted to throw that in. I've been thinking about that as I'm watching different people, you know, raise their hands. And I like to be I like this one. I do. I mean, if I could be that, would be the one. It probably reminds me back in the day when I could actually put my hands in my pockets and put my thumb through the loops like this and actually see my thumbs. They're still there. But maybe, I don't know if that's what that was about or not. But we want you to feel comfortable as you come and you worship God. You know, it's all right as we're singing and we're praising if you're led to sit down or get on your knees. You know, we're here. We want you to respond to God. We're not looking for everybody being the same and doing the same and that. And I came across that video and I thought it was hilarious. And I just wanted to share that with you. We've been working through 1 Peter. We're jumping ahead this week. We did 1 Peter chapter 1, and we got into chapter 2 a little bit. We're going to go back into chapter 2, actually, the next 2 weeks. But we're jumping ahead to 1 Peter chapter 3, mainly because tomorrow in church, we're going to have a wedding. And 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 7, deals with husbands and wives. So we... you know, we went with the flow or went with the spirit. I don't know what you want to call it. You know, my fish was always this big. It's never this big. So tomorrow we're going to have a wedding as part of the church service. So we adjusted our reading schedule, our text schedule for that. So tonight we're going to be talking about husbands and wives a little bit. And as we prepare for that, let's watch this video.
She said yes. So now here you are, surrounded by your family and friends in an expensive tux your mother-in-law-to-be picked out, promising a whole bunch of things. Hard things, like to love no matter what, to honor and cherish her till death do you part. But good for you. I mean, you are the man. But pretty soon, maybe even next week, you're going to do something that makes her think you care more about ESPN than her feelings. You'll leave the seat up and put the toilet paper on the right way, you know, paper over, even though she likes it under. We're with you on this one, by the way. Or you'll tell her the truth about the meatloaf or the way she looks in her new jeans and her dull family reunions. You'll probably even invite the guys over for poker on that one night she asked you to go to one of those places where you paint dishes together. You'll throw your stinky socks on the floor and forget the anniversary of the first time you said, I love you. But let's not think about that now. This is a really big day. Your day, the beginning of a future built on love. But not the greeting card kind of love, all flowery and words about happy times, because the truth is, sometimes love is messy and scratchy and uncomfortable, even painful. True love overlooks, it sacrifices, sticks it out, gives and forgives. The love she's looking for, or you're looking for, we're all looking for, is a lot like God's love, perfect, unending, and unconditional. He promised us a bunch of things, but most importantly, to love us, no matter what. Dirty laundry, bad habits, and everything else.
So tonight we're talking about marriage, husbands and wives. This first scripture we're just going to read, I'm going to read through it, then we'll stop and talk about it. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And I got to tell you, this is going to be interesting here as you read through these things to look at what Scripture, what God has to say to us. In the same way, you wives should yield to your husbands. Then if some husbands do not obey God's teaching, they'll be persuaded to believe without anyone saying a word to them. They'll be persuaded by the way their wives live. Your husbands will see your pure lives you live with your respect for God. It's not fancy here, gold jewelry, fine clothes that should make you beautiful. No, your beauty should come from within you. Your beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit that'll never be destroyed and is very precious to God. In the same way, holy women who lived long ago, followed God, made themselves beautiful, yielding to their own husbands. Sarah obeyed Abraham, her husband, and called him her master. And you women are true children of Sarah if you always do what is right and are not afraid. In the same way, husbands, you should live with your wives in an understanding way, since they are weaker than you. But show them respect, because God gives them the same blessings He gives you. The grace that gives true life. Do this so that nothing will stop your prayers. My screen went blank on me as I was reading that. Kind of a fun scripture to get up here in front of a bunch of people and talk about, especially in our day, in our culture. You know, I don't know if there's any PC police out there, you know, politically correct police out there, because we kind of look at this scripture and we're saying, oh, wait a minute, Jay, you had me there when you started out by talking about in the same way you wives should, but then you lost me right after that. You should yield. Other versions talk about you should be subject. Shouldn't be subject. And then it goes down a little further, and you get into verse 7, and it kind of talks about in the same way, husbands, love your wives, you know, live with them in an understanding way, which, I mean, oh, I'll leave that one alone. Because they're the weaker vessel. All right, how many women like that? Those terms? You know, wait a minute, I'm going to be subject to my husband, I'm going to yield to him because I'm the weaker vessel. in today's culture? Are you kidding me? What's Peter doing here? Is he like just dissing all the women in the house? Is he trying to make you mad? Here we go. We're in one of these conservative Bible thumper churches putting the thumbs down on women. No, that's not what he's talking about here. Matthew Henry said it like this. He goes, "The woman was made out of a rib of Adam, not made out of the head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be loved." See, and that's the thing that we lose in this culture today. In this culture today, we have this idea that everyone is the same. Everyone is interchangeable. You see, that's not how God created us. We exchange a lot of things today. And I'm gonna step out here a little bit. Some of you I know pretty well. My niece is here. I've known Pammy her whole life because she's my niece. She's younger than me. How many years has it been that I've known you, Pam? We'll leave that one alone. About 24 or something like that. Maybe more. But some of you I know really well. Some of you I don't know as well. But when we go back and we look at that scripture, I'm not here to tell you what scripture says according to what you like or what you where you come from. I'm here to say, this is how God's designed things. And he's probably done it for a reason. You know, we have this idea that people are inexchangeable. I mean, we have this law in New York State, right? The same-sex marriage law, which really goes contrary to God's design. That's interesting is in my neighborhood, my best friends, a couple of lesbians. They know I love them. Matter of fact, they have a key to my house. I have a key to their house. If I can't get home to let my dog out, guess what? They're over there letting the dog out, giving them treats and all these. Same thing with us. We have that kind of a relationship. But you know, they also, we had a pretty interesting discussion when the law was passed. Jay, would you marry same-sex people in your church? I said, no. So we see it goes kind of contrary to what, and we had a great discussion. And you know, they don't feel judged by me. They're going away Monday, and you know what? Tomorrow I have to stop at their house and pray with them. They invite me over to pray with them. But it doesn't, my love for them doesn't change what Scripture says. The same thing about husbands and wives and this issue of living together and things like that. You know, God has a design. If you're here tonight and you're living together, you're not married, you know what? God's saying that's not right. And he says it for many reasons. He says it because he loves us. I remember years ago I had a youth center over in Schenectady on Ontario Street. And I remember I was surrounded by about 8 kids. And they looked at me and they said, "Pastor Jay, can we ask you some questions?" And I said, "Sure." So we sat down, we talked a little bit. "Why is God such a big killjoy?" "Well, what do you mean? Why is God, you know, he's all these things, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, he's a big killjoy." And I go, "Well, like what?" And they go, "Well, like sex. You know, you can't have sex until you're married. What's you know, he's just trying to." And I sat and I talking with them and I said, "Tonight you're going to leave here. You're going to go down Ontario Street. You're probably going to cross Broadway. Let's say one of you starts to step out to cross the street and a bus is coming. What are the rest of you going to do?" "We're going to pull them out of the way. We don't want them to get hit." And I go, "Why? Shouldn't they have the choice? They want to walk in front of a bus?" No, we're not going to let them do that. And I said, "Well, you see, that's why God put intimacy in the covenant of a marriage. Then there was like 6 girls and 2 guys. I said, how many of you girls gave yourself to a guy and the next day he doesn't even call you? Every one of the girls had their dropped. I said, it hurts. God loves you so much. He doesn't want you to experience this pain. He doesn't want you to have that. So he put intimacy in the framework of a marriage. Because he understands a little bit about how he made us. He created us. Now we're all equal. Men and women, we're equal. We're different, but we're equal before God. Paul talks about that in Galatians, doesn't he? Galatians 3. For many of you were baptized into Christ and put on Christ. Therefore, or there is neither Jew or Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So God is telling us, hey, we're equal in that. That grace, Peter talked about that too, right? That saving grace, we experience that together. It's not just for the men. It's not just for women who obey their husbands. It's for all of us. We're equal in that. Matter of fact, you go back and you go into Genesis, you go into Ephesians 5, you look in here in 1 Peter, we'll see that God set all this up, marriage, all this up for a purpose. In many ways, it's to complement each other. Now, the famous movie line, it comes from Jerry Maguire, right? You complete me, and all the women cry and go, oh, you know, right? Come on. Lousy movie, though. I wouldn't watch it. I wouldn't encourage you to watch it. But we complement each other. It's like our right hand and our left hand. They work together. I'm right-handed. I do most things with my right hand. I wouldn't want to be without my left hand. We work together. We complement each other. Peter runs into a little problem here because he talks about the weaker vessel. What's that about? It's interesting, too. Because, you know, just the way that we're made different, you know, women are, you know, you guys, if we ever go through starvation, women can hold up better than men. Really? The way they're made, it has to do with sometimes the way that women are tend to be, careful here, not looking at me, but generally speaking, women have more fatty tissue. You know, it's for to be mothers, to get your children through hard times. Women can handle concentration camps better than men, the way they're made. That's interesting. Not that we hopefully have to go through any of that. Women can take longer, colder water, you know, swim a bit more longer in colder water than men can. Just by the way they're made, they're designed. But what's this idea of the weaker vessel? What is Peter trying to say here? Tell me the truth. How many women like being considered the weaker vessel? Anyone here? I want to do it. Hey, there's some of you there, yeah. And, you know, think about it. You know, I went and got our fine china out, so I don't know if we have any fine china. I went and did the best I could. I don't know if this is crystal or not. No, I guess not. You can pretend, okay? Remember, this is really elegant crystal, and this is common glass, you know? These are both vessels, aren't they? Different purpose. Equally important. See, men and women, we're different vessels. Equally important, but we have different functions. I want to just look at those last, the first verse and the last. It's kind of interesting here. I was wondering why, you know, Peter, there's 7 verses here where he's talking about husbands and wives. 6 of them are about women. One of them is applying to the man a little bit. But I just want to look at verses 1 and 7. Let's pull that up. In the same way you wives should yield to your husbands, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman. And I'd like to just spend a little bit of time talking about this. Talking about how we were made and how we were made different. Why it's okay to yield to your husband. Husbands, we got quite a undertaking there. You know, you ever see those little cartoon things about finally there's been a book for men to understand women, and it stands about this tall from the ground, and you know, you talk about impossible tasks. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. To live with your wives in an understanding way. There's a lot to do, really, in how we were made. Gary Smalley talks about the number one thing that women need in their lives. Do you know what it is? Anyone idea? It ends up being security. Women need to feel secure. That's why if you're in a relationship and you're not married, what's that doing to the woman? She needs to feel that security. She needs to know that you're going to be there forever. It's how they're made. You know what the number one thing that men need, according to Gary Smalley? Gary Smalley's like this psychologist, this marriage relationship guru type guy. You know what number one thing men need? Huh? Appreciation. Respect. Admiration. Men need to know that. Men, generally speaking, they need to feel respected. They need to feel this honored. There's an innate need in them for that. And it's kind of interesting how God made us this way. Because when we're honoring our wives in such a way that they feel secure, guess what happens? They respect you. They admire you. Wives, guess what happens when we're respecting our husband that we, but you all, respecting your husbands, that kind of sounded weird when I said we're all. When you all are respecting your husbands, admiring your husbands, guess what? It's so much easier for them to love you in such a way that you feel secure. Now, I would imagine all of us in the room, well, we probably have felt just the opposite. Man, when you haven't felt secure in your relationship, boy, it's awful hard at that point to honor, admire. Because the natural flesh of us goes against that. It's kind of interesting here. Peter spent a little bit of time in that, didn't he? Wives, if your husband's not living in a way that honors God, follows his teachings, live in a way without saying anything to him. He kind of says that, right? He says it, don't say anything to him. Don't nag him. That's Jay's kind of editorial there. No nagging. If anyone wants to get this video and give it to my wife, that's fine with me too. Yeah. Joey, edit that part. Joey's going to send Adrian a link and a little email just to that part. she knows me already. But I forgot even how I got into that. I'm so funny, it makes me forget. But we move forward in this. Now there's a lot here. You know, women, you know, it's told to live that way. Actually, you know what? We all ought to live in such a way that people would want to see Jesus, don't they? Here, Peter's instructing women who maybe their husbands don't know the Lord, live in a way that they would. It's real interesting here, that too, this whole thing with women and men. Do you know that the early church was the place that really began to honor women? In that day, in that culture, women were what? They were lower than second-class citizens. They were merchandise, you know, material possessions. And Jesus taught men to honor and love your wives in a way that gave them great honor and dignity. That's what the church was known for. That's what we ought to be known for today. Husbands loving our wives so that they feel appreciated, so they feel honored, so they feel secure. I was talking with someone today, and or not today, I was the other day, and they were talking about their husband and just feeling so concerned that he's working so much and not able to be home. And this guy is doing everything he can to provide for his family, and they're struggling. And I encouraged her. I said, encourage him, because he's doing what he needs to do for his family. Guys, we need to lay down. What's it say in Ephesians? Lay down our lives for our wives like Jesus did for the church. What woman in here today wouldn't follow a man who was willing to lay down his life for her, for their family? Come on. That's how we were made. This idea of love and respect, this idea of security, admiration. The question we have to ask ourselves, though, is probably in many different ways. Do we live that way? I can be honest. I don't have to be honest, but I will be. I struggled with this message. Been married over 28 years now. And we got married when we were 22. We were dating since we were 15. You know, for over 35 years, we've been dating. Talk to Matt. We're going through a tough time right now in our marriage. We're struggling through some things. I know the pastor of a church, it's, you're not supposed to struggle through that anymore. And you know, after 28 years, you ought to have it down. But I'm a little slow. But we're struggling through it. And I struggled preparing for this. Because you know what? It is so hard sometimes for Adrian to respect and honor me. And it's so hard for me sometimes to love my wife in such a way that she feels secure. Security is a big issue for Adrian. If you get nowhere at all, you know that. You know some things about her. But we're struggling. Where are you at? Are you married? Where are you in your marriage? One of the things Gary Smalley talks about, he goes, you know, women are great. There's one question you can ask. You ask a couple on a scale of 1 to 10, where are we in our marriage? And generally speaking, a man will answer that 2 to 3 points higher than the woman. Because we're, hey, we're together, you know. We're doing good. A woman will be more accurate. You know, so let's say George and Marianne. You know, I asked George, say, George, you know, scale of 1 to 10, you know, where are you guys in your marriage? Oh, we're an 8. Marianne looks at him, but 8? Come on, we're not even a 5. What do you mean an 8? You know, but then the next question, if George is really interested in seeing their marriage go, George, you ask Marianne this question. You got to pay attention. And I went out to dinner with you the other night. You need to listen to this question. What would it take to move our marriage from a 5 to an 8? And you know what? She'd be able to tell you. Women are built, they have this built-in marriage manual. And they can tell you how to move and to make your... Because we all want to have tens, right? All of us, if we're in a marriage, we want to have a 10. If you're not married yet, you want to have a 10. Right? Nobody. What was that old drug commercial? No one, you know, grows up thinking, I want to be a drug addict, right? No, you know, I'm going to grow up thinking, I want to have a lousy marriage, you know, I want to get 3 divorces, you know. No, we want to have 10s. So if you're married, where are you at? And how can you make your marriage better? And if you're not married and you're together, you really need to think about that. One of it has to do with honoring God. But if you want to have the relationship that God wants you to have, both with Him and the person you're with, yeah, there's something about honoring God. Statistically speaking, people who live together are much higher rate of divorce than those who don't before they get married. That's the way that God designs things. You would think, hey, we get to try this out. If it works out, hey, we've got a little... That's not how it works with God. We need to take these things serious. Because we want to be serious people about following after God. Now, some of you, maybe you're single now. Let's ask God to move in your life in that area. Maybe some of you are single now because you're 13. And that's good. Stay single. Maybe you're single now and you're 18, Matt. That's good. But let's think about the women that we want to be, the men that we want to be. And let's move forward. Let's understand the principles that God laid out. Because there isn't anyone here who wants to have a lousy relationship. And a lot of it has to come down to this last thing. It comes down to communication. We use the word intimacy. Remember, I heard someone say one time, intimacy can be described as, into me you see. Men, you need to really work on this. Because as a whole, we're not very good at it. Into me you see. Your wives, they want to be read like that book. And you know them completely. They long for that. Tonight, I just want to close with this. I'm going to pray. I'm just going to ask you, you know the routine. This is where we close our eyes, we bow our heads a little bit, and we just try to get alone with God. Nothing too flaky, too weird. I'm just going to be alone with God. Start out by talking to those who are married. Would you rate your marriage on a scale of 1 to 10? Lord, I just pray for the married couples here tonight. Lord, when we hear that you created us to have joy, abundant joy, Lord, when we understand that we were created for that, for your pleasure, to experience you. Lord, we long for that. Lord, tonight I pray for those who are married amongst us here. Lord, I pray that they would ask that question. What would it take to move 2-3 points higher? That they would work together as a couple with true intimacy. Lord, we ask for forgiveness when we've taken marriage, and while we're married now, and we've got this routine, we just go through and we do this now. And Lord, help us not to be those type of people. Lord, help us to be the type of people that those who don't know you are drawn to you. Because of the way that we live our lives, the way we love our husbands, the way we love our wives. People say, boy, there's something different there. I want that. Now, some of you here right now maybe you're living together. Maybe you got plans in the future. Maybe getting married. Maybe you're in relationships that you're not living together, but at times you kind of live together. You're not experiencing the security that you ought to have in the type of relationship that you're having. I just ask that you look deep within your soul. Is this what God wants for you? Lord, I pray for folks to hear tonight that, Lord, maybe they're single now and there's a loneliness that's taking place. And not experiencing how we complement each other. Lord, there's some scriptures that talk about that. How they can give their whole life to you in such a great way that those of us who are married, we can't. Lord, I pray that you just might move in their lives and they would experience you in a great way. Lord, I pray for young people here tonight. Lord, as they may long one day to get married, to find that man, to find that woman. Lord, prepare them for that. Help them, Lord, to see the things in their lives that might need to change. Lord, that gives honor to you. Lord, that they would be raised up. In all of this, Lord, we've been talking about what does it mean to be in a relationship with you as the center of it. And Lord, I realize that maybe not everyone here has you as the center of their life. And the last thing I'm going to do is just if you don't have Jesus as the center of your life, we've been talking a lot about that. Just raise your hand and say, Jay, I'd like to talk with somebody about that. Exploring more about knowing Jesus the way he desires to know me. Tonight, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. And we give you glory and honor.